Welcome to a fight club far, far away with your host, Katrina Dennis. This is the fight club you can talk about.
Hello there, and welcome to a special mini episode of a fight club far, far away, a show dedicated to the most iconic showdowns and throwdowns from the Star Wars franchise. I'm your host, Katrina, and with me today is the founder of the Geeky Waffle Network, my dear Candace. It's so good to see you again.
It's so good to see you.
Like, I'm so happy we're bringing this back and that, like, you're gracious enough to help me bring it back because the show is something special, I think. Not to sound too egotistical.
It is.
I feel like we have a gem here. And so that is why we will return to episode rotations in July, later this summer. But now we're back because something very special is airing right now, and we could not wait to talk about it, at least in this like first format. So I'm so thrilled to say that the Obi-Wan Kenobi series is a smash hit in like every possible way. And it's been such a wonderful, like, every week we get new Obi-Wan, and it's always like wowing me in these new and incredible ways. And I just want to get like your quick thoughts, Candace, on the series so far. We've just hit episode 4 as of this recording. How do you feel?
It's better than what I could imagine. Just it blows me away. Ewan McGregor is just Obi-Wan. I mean, so is Alec Guinness. Mm-hmm. But, you know, he just steps back into that role, and it's like, time has passed, yes, but you feel like he had been living all that time as Obi-Wan.
Yes. Yeah. It's so seamless. Like, and I know that Ewan has said that coming back was like not exactly daunting, but he noted how back in the day, fans didn't seem to vocally enjoy this or the prequels or anything. And so I'm glad he gets this chance to like come back and like see how we really do appreciate him. And like, you know, those kids on the forums and like those people that were so mean about the prequels, like that was a generation that the prequels weren't necessarily meant for. Like,
they were meant for us.
Yeah, it was for us. It was ours.
It was for like, us, and we loved them.
We loved them. And that's why, like, even though, you know, I have opinions about the sequel trilogy, but for people who love it, especially new fans, like, it's for them. Like, that's the thing you've got to realize is that, like, Star Wars is in a way for everyone, but like there's always something new and something like more welcoming to a wider audience. And that's just how it's going to be for the rest of forever. But specifically, I would love to discuss the emerging fight style that we're seeing in Obi-Wan. I think that when we see him move and his first initial big fight in this series that like everyone was waiting for shows you like where he's at mentally than anything else. Let's jump into it, man.
Part 3, yeah. It was like a horror film almost. In the dark, running from Vader.
It's the scariest Vader's been, honestly.
Yes.
Like I've been in like the void, like 3D experience.
Yes, I was just thinking about that, Katrina. When I heard his breathing, I flipped out. I was like, oh my God, I'm a rebel and Vader's here.
Vader's here. He's like crossing a platform. He's like coming right at you.
I'm like I came to Mustafar. This was a mistake.
It's like, oh, I shouldn't have thought the lift here was so cool. Like it was a scary, it was fun. So fun, yeah. Like amazing. But like you feel that presence when he comes towards you. And I think that like, that is what I feel was recaptured in this fight. Like Vader, this is Vader at his peak. Like he is at the tippity top of his most evil ways. He's like killing kids on screen.
Just a side note, that is Leia's first introduction to her birth father.
Yes. Yeah. She watches him like twist a teenager's neck.
Yep. Who was just coming out to defend their father. You know, yeah. Like
wild. And so like
Daddy of the Year.
Exactly. Exactly. Thankfully, she has Bail for now.
Yeah.
So that's
she has Bail and Breha, and I'm so happy we got to see them.
I was in a room with several of like a handful of our mutual friends watching the premiere, and like the way we all howled when Alderaan came on screen, just like not to sidetrack or whatever.
Yeah.
What an epic fake out! Like
I know so many fake outs like, with that.
Yeah, like, oh, we're going to be in the desert. Oh, it's going to be about Luke, blah, 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 blah. No, it's not. It's about Leia. and Alderaan, and like we get to spend all these this time in places that like we haven't been before, and I'm just so happy and pleased. It's just it's been great, and now we're on Jabin, and that's the whole thing.
Well, just going by that, it's like some people were like, oh, why did they have bring Leia? Actually, a friend just asked me because I'm a crazy Star Wars fan. And it's like, why did they have to bring either Luke or Leia up? And I'm like, what else would have gotten Obi-Wan fighting again?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Like when he's in this part three, he isn't trying to like attack Vader. He's not trying to defeat him. He's literally just trying to buy Leia time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because he's just trying to protect his best friends and Padme's kids.
Like, if you think about it, this is the only family Obi-Wan has left. And he, like, I love that little bit when he was talking to Leia about what he remembered of his family, not only because, like, you know, like, I think it's cool and it's nice and lore-y, but it's like him, I think that was part of what made him gradually realize, like, this is so important to me. Like, I'm doing this, I would die for this child because she's one of the last that I have, you know? And I, like, my Obi-Dala shipper heart, like, aside, I think that's super, that's very much what he meant, is like, I wish I were your father. I wish you were my daughter. I wish you were my family. And saying that, like, I think really changed his perspective on, like, how badly he wanted to save Leia. Not to say that he wasn't gonna do it anyway, but, like, now he is, like, put his life on the line like four or five times over the past few episodes and just been like, go, I'll just die. Like,
Well, he said that line, I'll be right behind you. And I was just having flashbacks to Kanan telling that to Ezra. And then in the Kanan comics, Deppa says that to Kanan. And I was like, oh, the pain. If you think about it, like you were saying, like Leia and Luke are the only pieces of his family left. And, like, imagine how terrified he must be that he knows Vader is on the same planet as Leia.
Yeah.
Like, he must be terrified that Vader might sense his child. Because God knows what he would do if he found his child was alive.
Mm-hmm.
And hidden from him, too.
Yeah.
So there's got to be so much at this point going on in Obi-Wan's head. And you see it in Ewan's performance.
Mm-hmm.
I admittedly did laugh when he sees Vader. Vader ignites his lightsaber, and then like Obi-Wan just like jets off. He's like, bye.
Yeah, exactly. Like, well, we'll go into it in a second, but I love the way that Obi-Wan, in a way, like the way he uses weapons and the way he fights in this series is entirely intentional. It's not just like, oh, I won't use my lightsaber because I don't want them to find out I'm a Jedi, which is like one of the reasons he doesn't use it. Very often he uses a blaster instead, so uncivilized. And now, like, you can see that, like, these choices are deliberate, because I think Obi-Wan, it's not necessarily that his connection to the Force was, like, severed or he did that on purpose or anything, but it's like when you stop working out, you know, on any level. If you stop taking walks, your body, like, gets a little sluggish. If you, like, don't move around when you work a sedentary job, like, that can really hurt your legs at the end of the day, and your body can feel heavier. And I feel like that is exactly what Obi-Wan is experiencing. Like, obviously he's a Jedi, he's a master, a general, and he's been using the Force his entire life. But, like, this depression that has come over him has, like, completely put him out of practice for that. And so in a lot of ways, we're seeing Obi-Wan, like, get back onto the bike. He knows how to ride it. He's not pedaling as fast because he's still getting, like, up that hill, to reference.
Yeah, he's also unsure of himself. So, like you said, he's unbalanced. So he's wobbling a lot.
Yeah.
You know what you made me realize was that Obi-Wan's last act as, like, an official part of the Jedi Order was shooting Grievous with a blaster. It wasn't a lightsaber.
Yeah.
Like, that's insane. That's weird to think about now. Like,
you know, I love that moment because it's like, so it reminds me so much of, like, Indiana Jones and the Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Oh, yeah.
Where it's like, Grievous has got all these swords out. He's like, whoa, 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 whoa. And then Obi-Wan just shoots him. Like, it was great. Yeah. And I just, that cool and calm and collected Obi-Wan is, like, nowhere in this fight because he is so overwhelmed. Like, I know there are comments on the internet that are like, why is Obi-Wan off kilter? Why isn't he so good at Jedi? It's because he's depressed, because he's out of practice, because
all his friends are dead.
The man he had in front of him trying to kill him, the child he's trying to keep from being dead is like a couple meters behind him. Like, Leia is so physically close in that space. And like, Obi-Wan is obviously aware of her because he's been around her, because he's saving her. But like, being that person in the middle who knows everything, who has to hold that balance and keep it, it's just like, it's completely like, it throws him off, you know, like entirely. And we see him stumble and we see him like crumble under the power of Vader's blows, where, you know, in Revenge of the Sith, in that final fight, like he struggled only when he started like hurting for Anakin, you know, like Obi-Wan is an incredible swordsman. And it's one of like the biggest like keys to who he is in the Clone Wars, is that he can keep up with like everyone. And he and Anakin are the ultimate duo. And like, to be able to take them down or give them a run for their money means that you're really, really, really talented, Asajj Ventress. And seeing this Kenobi who like, he's just moving, he's Vader is like forcing him back with every single blow. And Kenobi is stumbling and falling, not because he doesn't know how to fight, but because he doesn't know how to fight this person, this ghost that he was never prepared to see again. You know, he's been mourning Anakin for 10 years. So to have this man back and actively wanting to kill the shit out of him is the whole ordeal for him. And so I thought like choreography of this fight was magnificently done, because it's not about necessarily the fight. It's about how the characters are and what their mindsets are in that moment.
Definitely. And just thinking back about Rebels in the beginning of season 2, when Ahsoka senses Vader, she passes out. Mm-hmm. Can't imagine her having to automatically fight him afterwards, because like Obi-Wan has that same reaction where he's just like dazed.
Yeah.
And overwhelmed. Vader feels in this fight, he's playing with Obi-Wan. Like, Vader could take him out. Like you were saying, like, Obi-Wan's not on full form. But like, Vader is playing with him because he says, your pain has just begun. He mm-hmm. wants to like torture Obi-Wan.
Yeah.
And I was just thinking, like, this is the exact opposite of the Obi-Wan versus Maul fight that we get in Rebels. Because that is over quick. It's to the point. Maul dies quickly. You know,
Obi-Wan doesn't want to cause pain when he kills Maul. Like, despite that's, I mean, I think that's just a credit to like how much his character evolved and everything from his Padawan years. You know, like his master was killed. I don't know what the word I'm looking for is. It was a cheap shot the way Maul killed Qui-Gon. Like, he punched him in the face and then he stabbed him.
He's a Sith. What do you expect?
Exactly. It was a Sith move. And so Obi-Wan gracefully, like, gracefully killing someone, but like taking Maul out in a quick, easy way, not making it dramatic, not torturing him, just giving him ultimately that end that Maul wanted in a way. That was a full credit to like the man we see in the prequels and the man we see in Rebels and A New Hope. Like, he has changed fundamentally. And I think a lot of that fight can be credited to this fight with Vader and his potential battles with Vader that come up.
Yeah. I feel like we're going to see how Obi-Wan went from losing it all in revenge to where he is calm and collective in that episode of Rebels. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And that's just a stepping stone to A New Hope.
Yes. Yeah. And I mean, like, it's so different in a way, like the way that Obi-Wan is willing to like fight and die for Leia right now is very different from the way he's going to be willing to fight and die for the twins in A New Hope, because he like, I don't know, his willingness is completely different in a way. It's like he is resolved to the fact that like, this is where my end is supposed to be. Like, I'm supposed to save these children so that they can save him, you know?
Yeah. And I think at that point too is like, well, they're grown up, so they can also save themselves. But at this point, Leia's still 10, you know, like,
yeah,
she's very capable 10-year-old. Mm-hmm. Very impressed.
I wasn't like the difference is like in what, like 5 or 6 years, she'll start going under combat training and all of that, which is in Leia, Princess of Alderaan. She'll start using those like gravity force fields or whatever to climb mountains and shit. And she'll get stuff. But right now, she's like 10 years old. She's a little girl, and like the best she can do and the most brazen show of her Force connection is how intuitive she is, you know? But yeah, this fight was just like, you know, I expected it in a way I hoped it would go this way because I didn't want Obi-Wan and Vader to like clash and have like an epic battle immediately. I wanted that realism and moment where it's just like, oh boy, like my brother is alive. Like my best friend, my soulmate is alive and he's a monster now. And like I think there are just like so many thoughts still going through Obi-Wan's head. And I think that guilt over Vader is still weighing on him heavily in a way that isn't quite productive just yet, but soon, most certainly it will be.
I just keep thinking like he met Anakin when he was like 9, 10, same age as Leia. That's got to bring back a lot of things. I mean, he raised that kid.
Yeah. Like,
again, the amount of guilt you must feel. But I honestly, this ending scene, it was the most uncomfortable Star Wars has ever made me. I feel like it's the darkest thing, seeing Vader drag him through the flames.
Oh my God, dude. I just like listening to him scream was like the hardest thing in the world for me. Like I knew that like Obi-Wan was gonna get like messed up and like old looking like within the next 10 years and stuff, but like I didn't anticipate that the beginning would be like right here. You know, like what we're seeing is Obi-Wan being forced to age basically through injury, and he doesn't stay in that back to take long enough to fully heal his wounds either. So that was something intense to me. Like that was Vader. He said it. He's like, I've been waiting for this moment for like the longest time. And there's I think it's what from the Darth Vader comics that he like fantasizes about how he's going to kill Obi-Wan. And so he's getting everything he wants right now until Obi-Wan manages to escape. And I think that like, even though Obi-Wan is gone, Vader is now fully confident that like the next time he sees this guy, he's going to kill him.
It's almost like he's playing with him. He is playing with him. He wants him to suffer for a while. Like he wants him to live with those burns like he lived with them. Yes. So that's why people are like, oh, why didn't Vader go right after him? Because he didn't want to. He wants him to suffer as much as possible before this is over.
Yeah. I think that in the constant woobification of Anakin Skywalker, people tend to forget that, like, this is him at his worst. Like, all those red flags we saw are now, like, giant banners.
Neon signs there. Yeah, just glowing.
Neon signs, like, flashing down the Vegas Strip, man. Like, this is Vader, not just at his strongest, but at his most evil. Like I was surprised that like they let him kill. I'm sure they like the teenager was a thing because they wouldn't let him kill like a child on screen. Yeah. But like that, even that, like taking away the life of a youth is like, whoa. And I mean, that's what the threat is that like Vader isn't just like a powerful guy right now. He's unstoppable. He's like a bullet train of a man who is hell bent on getting his revenge. Because he still thinks Obi-Wan ruined his life.
10 years of him being in that suit, being in constant pain, focusing only on that. And Palpatine's probably just feeding that constantly. Well, he is. We know that in the comics.
Oh, absolutely. But, yeah, every day he just calls and talks shit about Obi-Wan.
He's like, hey, you know what? I bet Obi-Wan's like on the beach somewhere just having a great time laughing at you.
Exactly. I just pictured the Emperor just like FaceTiming Vader like from like the bottom up with like his chin all like squishy and stuff. Like, man, I just heard Obi-Wan thought you were a bitch. Like, yeah. He just posted it all over the holonet. Did you see it? Oh, you must have deleted it. Anyway, he said so. I saw it. And yeah, like and this kind of continues. I think their battle is like, it's beyond physical, because in the next episode, in episode 4, there is like this, I almost want to call it like a dyad moment where Obi-Wan is going through mental torture and Anakin is like whipping, or Vader is whipping around in the back of the tank. And they're both like, they're emerged in back to tanks. They're like having these like traumatic episodes basically. And they're doing so together back and forth. And I thought that was like masterful.
That's what Vader wanted. He wanted him in the same amount of pain that he's in.
Yep. And now he's in Obi-Wan's head. And it's about how Obi-Wan hopefully takes the moves past that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to make us cry more.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I don't know what I'm going to do. Like, how do you think? Okay. What are you most anticipating or hoping for if they do fight one more time in this series?
I hope that we have something like Obi-Wan tries to reason with Vader. Mm-hmm. He tries to, because there is a line in Return of the Jedi where Vader says, Obi-Wan once thought like you did. Because mm-hmm. I feel like in Revenge of the Sith, he doesn't really give him much of a chance. Because he just saw him kill a bunch of kids, you know?
Yeah. Kill a bunch of kids, Padme's dying on the landing pad. Like, it's
he's like, you're lost. Yeah, he just saw him choke Padme, you know? But like, mm-hmm. if he choked the love of his life, it's like he's gone, you know, kind of thing. But I hope there's like, he tries to reach out to him. Because like, reading Brotherhood, I just love how Obi-Wan like is like, this reminds me of Anakin. Anakin said this, you know, like this constantly thing. Because like, he's the most important person in his life, you know?
Exactly.
He loves him so much.
Yeah. I mean, not to bring Ventress into this again, but I think that like, you're bringing up Brotherhood, like there are countless times where like Obi-Wan like looked at Ventress and was like, something like her is about Anakin. And
yes, and I thought of you during those times.
Yeah. Because in Ventress, Obi-Wan not only sees like a bit of himself as someone who like saw his master who was killed before him and had that moment where it's like he could have turned. Like Dooku could have shown up and been like, hey, and he would have had a new apprentice. And so Ventress could have easily been him, but in Ventress, he sees so much of what Anakin was and could have been and potentially will be. And so I think that's like, that's a credit to like how much he believes in her, like how much Obi-Wan believes in her ability to like pull away from the dark side, and how he never like basically like calls her a Sith in such a direct way. Because like if Asajj can come back, like, and she did, maybe Anakin can too, you know?
Plinlan Voss did too.
Yeah,
like, it's not unheard of. Like Yoda makes it sound like it's like, once you go dark side, you don't come back, you know, mm-hmm. this is done, it's permanent. But Obi-Wan knows of two people he was close to.
Yeah.
That's not the fact.
That's the perspective difference between them too, is that like Yoda probably has like some kind of basis in his belief for that. And that starts with, I mean, Dooku, his apprentice, someone who like amicably left the Jedi and then fell to the dark side after. And so like that, I think, is a huge impact on like how Yoda is thinking in the Republic era. And that doesn't even like begin to capitalize on like what he's experienced since the High Republic. This isn't a Yoda sympathy circle though.
Yeah.
So
hashtag not Yoda's fault.
I have my nitpicks with him, but like to that credit, like I can see why, especially then when the Jedi were so shrouded in darkness, why he would see things that way. Yeah. But that's also, you know, Obi-Wan is not a typical Jedi. He's the best of them, really.
Do you remember how we're like, this is gonna be 15 minutes long?
Yeah, we're gonna have a really short episode, and I'm already like, and I think this is why he was the first voice Rey heard, because blah blah blah, like that's a whole different episode though.
Oh my god, there's just a series, it's amazing. I've rewatched like each episode like three times now. It's like, absolutely. It's so good.
Yeah, I've rewatched, I've like talked about it everywhere, like Deborah Chow and all of the writers on this show and the entire cast, like everybody is bringing it. And this, you know, as much as I actually did enjoy, I really liked Boba Fett. I've had fun with The Mandalorian, but this feels like the first Star Wars TV event since like the Siege of Mandalore.
Yeah, this feels epic.
Yeah.
This feels, the cinematography too, just rewatching those scenes, it is just gorgeous. The scene with Vader and Obi-Wan confronting each other there's no really light. It's just their lightsabers with the colors and stuff like that. Like, just beautiful. Chef's kisses all around. Like, it's just a beautiful series.
Yeah. And I mean, that's the great thing about that particular scene, is that like, I think it's like, you know, like I said, Obi-Wan is a mess. Like, he's all over the place. He's tripping. He's falling. He's overwhelmed. But the way that it is shot is so meaningful and purposeful to that angle, that it actually looks beautiful. You know, like this, yeah. this middle-aged man is like stumbling all over the place, but it looks great.
Yeah. He looks great, Joanna.
He looks fantastic. Good job, Obi-Wan.
He looks very nice, bathed in blue light, you know?
Yeah. Oh, it was so, like, I just loved it every time I saw him ignite that saber and take back his signature blue, you know? Like, it just, it warmed my heart. And you see, after this fight, especially, like, his lightsaber comes out way more often. Like, not only because, you know, the Inquisitors know who he is and Leia now knows he's a Jedi, like, he is, I think, now becoming focused on the fact that, like, he's going to have to come back. He's going to have to step up and complete this mission. But he's also now, I think, determined, even subtly, to, like, try and reason with Vader and bring him back. Well, we're going to talk about this in, like, further detail this summer once Kenobi concludes, which is going to be in like 2 weeks. Oh God.
I don't want it to be over.
I just keep
following him around for the next 10 years. We got 10 what's years. You doing?
Like, I just want to watch him like cook fish and stuff. Like, like, I'm going to miss him so much. And I hope we get like more, like there was like this one moment where Ewan got on stage and he was like, enjoy episodes like 5 and 6 and 7 and 8 and 9 and 10. But he was just like fucking with people. And I was like, don't
mess with our hearts like that.
Don't screw with me like that, Ewan. I'm so excited though to talk about like hopefully another fight, and specifically in this next episode, which is going to be like the rekindler of Fight Club. We're going to talk about how Obi-Wan's fighting style in his show and the evolution of it also reflected on like his character growth and coming back and what it meant for him. But for now, I'm so happy that we could do this. I'm so glad to see you again and talk to you.
Same.
Yes.
And Kenobi brings people together.
Always. I mean, by force or, you know, otherwise, or by accident, it just it happens. And this was certainly a happening of the force. So I'm really glad that we're back and we get to do this. And thanks to everyone who has come back to listen to this special quote unquote mini episode. We went way over 15 minutes. There's so much to talk about. Like, I'm so excited.
We have a lot of feelings.
Yes, exactly. I could like spin like 5 more different podcast episodes off of this, but we will do that next month in July, with hopefully some very, very cool guests and friends. I'm so happy to be back.
And where can people find you online, Katrina?
Oh man. Well, you guys can find me anywhere if you look for Katrina, Ocatrina, because branding. And what about you, Candace?
Twitter, Candace is a geek, and you can find all Geeky Waffle stuff at thegeekywaffle.com, geeky_waffle on Twitter, and the Geeky Waffle everywhere else. And also, Fight Club has their own Twitter, right?
Yes, that is Fight Club FFA. Please follow for updates. I'm going to be getting that a lot more active, and we're going to talk about all sorts of cool stuff on the TL. So please do follow and make sure to subscribe to this podcast. Subscribe? I don't know. Follow this podcast. Yeah. On all platforms.
Subscribe, rate, review.
Subscribe, rate, review. Go listen to the old episodes. Get yourselves acquainted with us. And we will be back very soon. Thanks for listening. And until next time, may the force be with you.